Lesson number 4, In the Beginning. We are going to study the story of creation in Genesis 1 to through the Sabbath, Genesis 2-3. The first day. The first two verses of Genesis give the divine picture of the creation of this earth. In the beginning, God created heaven and earth. The word created here is bara in Hebrew. It means, if you look up Bible lexicon, to make something out of nothing. There is another word that we will find in verse 16. God made two great lights. This is another word, asa. This does not have the same meaning as the word created. If we want to understand the significance of what God created, we should turn to Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 to 12, which discuss the creation and its memorial, the Sabbath. And there we are told that God made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is. And he made the Sabbath as the memorial of everything that he had made in this earth. The Bible also talks about three heavens, the one in which the Savior mediates on our behalf, the heaven of heavens, the one in which the stars move, and the other one in which the sparrows fly. And as I understand it, it's the one in which the sparrow flies that's around this planet, the stretched out area that he made. And when he called this earth into being out of nothing, it was without form and void. That it was shapeless and empty, and darkness was on the face of the deep, the tahom, the blackness and the emptiness that was surrounding this planet. And then the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the water. The word moved here indicates that he fluttered, as a male bird flutters over the hen, to bring life-giving power to this earth. The word that is used for God is Elohim. This comes from the word to make an oath, to make enter into a covenant. And the L part of it has got the idea of mightiness. So Elohim is the mighty covenant maker who made between every element and every other element on this planet a relationship. And when you think of the formulae in chemistry, when you think of all the laws in physics, everything to do with gravity, the movement of gases, the movement of the atmosphere around us, every part is related to every part, and God made all those relationships and saw that they were very good. There was nothing here before, and God called this planet into being. He spoke, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood forth. Then, in verse 3, God said, "Light be," and light was. Light is visible energy. Matter is bottled up energy. Sir James Jeans' Mysterious Universe thus defined them. When you get energy into mass, you get matter. When you release that energy from mass, say an atomic explosion, you get light. Light, when God said light, he made everything possible. He made life possible. God saw that the light was good, and God divided the light from the darkness, called one day and the other night, it was evening, it was morning, day one. Now we learn about the length of the day from what he created on the fourth day. Sun to rule the day. The sun is the regulator. As the planet revolves around the sun, we get a day. And so the fact that there was day one in verse 5 indicates to me that the sun was already in existence and the earth could revolve around it. That's the same for day 2, day 3, day 4, day 6, and day 7. They're all regulated by the sun. Then God divided. Let the waters be divided from the waters. And made a firmament. Divided the waters under and above the firmament. He called the firmament heaven. And evening and the morning were day two. So in the second day's creation, God made a separation between the waters above, waters beneath, whatever that meant, I don't understand. In day three, he gathered together the waters into one place and the dry land into one place, and he called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters he called seas. And then he commanded, he empowered the earth to bring forth grass, herb, fruit tree yielding seed, and every kind of foliage on this planet. There were some that yielded seed after his kind, or trees that yielded fruit that had the seed in itself. God saw that it was good, and this was the third day. So after God had arranged the elements of the earth and the water around the earth, under the earth, the great aquifers, God then clothed the earth with grass that kept the soil in place, that enabled the plants and the shrubs and the trees to grow. He gave seed of various kinds so that every plant that he had created could bring forth after its own kind. Now in these 3 days, God set the environment of this planet. In day 4, God set, let lights be in the heaven to divide the day from the night and make for seasons, signs, days, and years. Now it says God made these, verse 16. Now we can say that these hadn't come into existence until day 4. But we've already discovered that there were 3 days before, day 1, day 2, day 3. And when it says day 4, in verse 19, it's not another kind of day. So this seems to indicate that the sun was there and the earth was revolving around it when it had come from God's tongue, and he spoke and it stood fast, that the earth had been revolving around the sun for 3 days before the sun's light in its fullness came upon this planet. Now the best explanation I've got of this is from Dr. Marsh in his Studies of Creationism, Day 4. He takes the word made in verse 16 and points out that asa has got a different meaning from the bara of Genesis 1:1. Asa means to remove from restraint. As if to say, we look at a piece of marble, and if we have the genius of Michelangelo, we remove all the rubbish around it to expose a David that has already been existing there in the artist's mind. We are told in Genesis 2, verse 4, that when God created verse 5, every plant of the field, every herb of the field, the Lord caused to grow. When there was not a man there, there was a mist that went over. And all these things in verse 4 were created before they came out. In God's mind, they existed. They were formed from His will as a result of what He had perceived in His mind. Before they were there, they were in His mind. Now, this idea of removing from restraint, Marsh suggests, is removing an aqueous curtain that prevented the light of the sun and the moon and the stars from reaching this planet in their fullness. Now, God had made all these, and the conclusion that Marsh came to was that they were removed from the restraint of this curtain that prevented them from reaching the planet. And so now the day and the night and the seasons and the years were all marked out clearly. Now, what act he carried out, we are not told. But that he used another verb for made suggests it was another kind of act. To divide the light from the darkness, God saw it was good, and this is the fourth day. In the fifth day, he made water creatures, every fowl that it may fly. He created the whales, these great mammals, and the winged animals, the winged creatures, and he gave them a special commission. It was not given to the plants. He blessed them and commanded them to be fruitful and multiply. For the first time, the word blessed is brought to our notice. He blessed the animals and the whales and the fish. Then later on, he blessed man, verse 28, and then in Genesis 2, verse 3, he blessed the seventh day. Now, what does the word blessed mean? Blessed is empowering to fulfill one's intrinsic function. God made the whales, and he gave them a function. They were to increase and multiply and replenish the waters. When Moses wrote this, he said, God blessed them, saying, be fruitful, multiply. So God's command was God's enabling. And God's enabling is called God's blessing. So his divine empowering to fulfill the function for which he had created these creatures was his blessing. Then he made man. Man's creation was different. He took the dust of the earth. He sculpted the dust into the shape of a man, filled the man's carcass with all his organs, all his systems. Then he blessed man, empowered him to fulfill his function, breathed into him as man the breath of life, and set him on his way. All these were deliberate acts of God. Man has got a different intrinsic function from the whale, and so his blessing helps him to have dominion and subdue the earth. On the seventh day, God ended his work of creation, because on the seventh day, he had his last act of creation. He had to make the Sabbath. The Sabbath was made for man. There had never been a Sabbath before, and then the Sabbath was blessed for man. It was empowered to fulfill its function of sanctifying man. So as we observe the Sabbath itself will do for us what it was created to do. Now, as we think of the orderly progression of God's act of creation, we discover his infinite love. He didn't make a butterfly till he had created a blossom. He didn't make a hummingbird until he had provided him with honey. He didn't make a tree until he had provided the soil. He didn't make a man until he had provided a beautiful Eden in which to live. And then immediately, the next day, he made a Sabbath that this man might rest, as God rested, not as one weary, but as one rejoicing in observing, in contemplating, in reveling in the wonderful acts that the Creator had made. So as we think of this matchless story in Genesis 1 through the first three verses of 2, we get a picture of God, the covenant maker, establishing relationships, millions upon millions of relationships, all of which are good, beneficial to every creature, all of which reveal his character of love, of consideration, of design, of beauty, of contributing to the well-being of all his creatures, making himself utterly worthy of their love, their adoration, and their worship.
This has been another classic sermon from the Archive of American Christian Ministries. This recording has been digitally reprocessed from the original audio cassette or reel-to-reel in order to make this CD available. The audio quality was improved as much as possible. International copyright, American Christian Ministries. All rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.AmericanChristianMinistries.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There is no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with our speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He's coming soon.